Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the After Party podcast, the podcast that happens after service from Harbor of Hope Christian Church. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm here with Kelly Tibbetts today, who spoke on fruit for our series Taste and See. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I am doing all right, circumstantially.
Yeah.
We're still in the pandemic and dealing with all that. But Kelly, you talked about being in the pandemic. You talked about what it looks like to isolate and to have fruit in your diet. But before we get all into that, can you give a 60-second or less summary about what you spoke on today?
Sure. So this series, Taste and See, is reminding us of the power and the beauty in God's word. And so this week we were talking about what does it look like when God's word produces fruit. And so fruit is sort of this outward, visible evidence of God's word capturing our heart, capturing our soul, and changing us. And so we were looking specifically at Matthew 13. And that's where Jesus is talking to a bunch of people who are probably farmers. They're surviving by the food that they can grow. And so they understand very much what he's talking about, seeds that get eaten by birds and thorns that, you know, take the life out of the plant. And the fact that sometimes when there's good soil, a seed produces 30, 60, 100 times what was planted. And really, that's God's goal for our life. Jesus came to bring us freedom and to bring us strength. And so what he does is he multiplies. He takes these little offerings, these little seeds that we bring, and it might be God's word brought to us in a song. Today, we noticed that during our worship experience that one of our worship pastors brought a song and it just blessed everyone. Sometimes it's just being in the word. Sometimes it's in prayer. But we're specifically this series looking at what God's word does and how it produces fruit.
Great. Thank you. So you mentioned that you found out and you realized how much you like green apples during this pandemic. So I guess that means that you've been eating only fruit now.
No. So right at the beginning of the pandemic, I don't know if you noticed this. So we're trying to go to the grocery store and there's nothing, right? There's no toilet paper and there's no flour. And all of a sudden, everyone in my family wants to bake. And so I think I'll go to kingarthur.com and just buy some flour there. They're out of flour. And for some reason, that sent me into like total pandemic mode. And I start Googling and I find out the Jiffy Mix company sends these boxes for only like $25. Great. And there's, I don't know, 30, 40 boxes of little Jiffy Mixes in them. So I bought three boxes because I was just in crazy pandemic mode. And when they show up, I mean, this is going to, luckily it's Jiffy Mix. It will last forever. I'm giving it like to my mom. I'm trying to give it away, but it's been so fun. So like, we don't have a bunch of things to bake, but we make our little Jiffy Mixes some nights and it's been really fun.
Great. So you've been baking, and you've been baking, you've been eating fruit. I'm glad that this pandemic has been beneficial, at least food-wise, it sounds. You brought this up and you mentioned a few things, but what are some things that you've noticed yourself saying and doing a lot during this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I go for way more walks than I've ever gone through. Mm-hmm. So it seems like every 20 minutes, someone is saying to the rest of us, there's five of us living at home right now. Anyone want to go for a walk? So I think walking is some new habit that wasn't part of what we were doing before. It's a lot harder for me to do the 9-round workouts that I was doing. They have them for home, but I found that I actually need a place to go and a time.
Yes.
More consistent. Mm-hmm. I think when I get home from the grocery stores most weeks, I'm like really sad and missing the days when you could go grocery shopping without a mask and a line of people 6 feet out for 40 minutes. So, you know, there's some good things and bad things. What I really noticed is how much I loved my car. Do you miss your drive? We both had sort of a little commute to work and I really miss it.
I do. So, just as a side note, I've been having social distance dates with my fiance.
Yes.
who we were meeting up in the middle. So we would both drive 45 minutes to see each other. But she hates driving and I love driving and I feel like I've missed my commute. So I'm like, no, I'll just come down to you and
drive.
Yeah. And I'll listen to podcasts and enjoy that time.
Right. Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, some days I literally go out and just sit in my car in the driveway just to be alone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I miss my car. I miss podcasts. I love podcasts. I love audiobooks, so I miss those.
Yeah, and that's the gift that, or the strength that we both share, and the strengths finders is the input. We like receiving information and taking that in.
Oh, you're so right. That's what
Yeah.
I'm missing is the input. Yep.
So you talked a lot about this parable that Jesus gave in Matthew, was it? Matthew
Yep,
13.
Matthew 14. Yep.
The parable of the sowers. Can you briefly break down the parable? But also, I want to ask what the metaphors are.
Yeah.
So break down the parable for us, and then
You know, sometimes
have a
it's known as
follow-up.
the parable of the sower, and sometimes it's known as the parable of the seeds. There's just different ways that people describe it. And as we were preparing for this series, what one of our friends, Mike, had pointed out is these soils that the farmers are dealing with aren't unlike what we're dealing with. So the first one, you know, Jesus says sometimes the farmer takes and he throws the seed on the ground, and the ground is so hard that the seeds don't make it in, and the birds just come and eat it. I think that some of us, this has been such a hard time. Our hearts are starting to harden, you know, whether it's through loss or isolation or fear. And so that's not any different, really, than the time of Jesus. People have always had isolation and fear and different, you know, experiences hardening our hearts. The next one speaks to the fact that, like, sometimes the seed gets into the soil, but the soil's very rocky, sort of like where we live in New Hampshire. And so I see things grow on rocks all the time. Little dandelions will pop up in the middle of a bunch of rocks, but they don't last. They don't have deep roots like a tree that can produce fruit. And then the third thing is that the thorns can suck it away, and that's sort of the distraction. And so I think in this season, but all through life, there are moments where there's loneliness and hardness and your heart is hardening, but then all of a sudden it's like just too busy and there's so many good things and you're distracted. And all of those things can keep us from God's word getting into a deep place. So for me, I know that it all starts with our soul being at rest, which is the good soil that we can not just hear with our ears, but listen and understand what, you know, God is trying to say through his word. And in that parable, it's so beautiful because what he's explaining to the people as they're alongside the lake, and he's in a boat, and he's telling them, I want you to come to me so I can heal you. And so instead of hardening our heart, we can bring that pain to him and he can heal us. He can help us forgive and to love. He can help us with distractions to know, you know what, some of these things you're burning yourself out over, didn't ask you to do them.
Hey, party people, I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party. Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that, you know, we're in this series of taste and see and different metaphors of scripture and about scripture. And so my first instinct is to say, oh, we're talking about fruit. The fruit is scripture. But that is not what this metaphor is saying. And I think it's super interesting to see that scripture is the seed. Scripture is the seed that gets put into us. So I guess my question is then, what is the soil and what is the fruit?
Well, I think the fruit is often described in other passages, like love and joy and peace and patience and all those different things that come out of a life where the soil, I think, is our soul. And if our soul is healthy and at rest and at peace, then when God's speaking, we can hear him. And sometimes we just keep ourselves so distracted, so busy, or we're just in so much pain that even if God is near us, we can't hear him.
Yeah. And there's so many different places we can be right now, that the soil, our soul is in a different place, and the seed can hit in very, very different ways,
Right.
and produce very different fruit, different results. And I know you said this. I just want to go deeper into it. I've heard fruit described in scripture as very different things. In some cultures, I've heard it say the fruit is the people you convert to Christianity, you know, and I've heard people say the fruit is the good works that come from you. So I can you go a little more into what the results are if you have the seed of scripture going into receptive soil, into a soul that's ready to hear it, what is the fruit that is produced from it?
Well, I think it looks different in a lot of different places. Like even as you were just speaking, I think of your dad, and he feeds lots of people on Saturday morning. So one obvious part of the fruit is literally people eat. Sure. Because of his faithfulness. But I think at the same time, what's happening there is community is created. And as your dad shares what, you know, is going on, God's name is made great and receives the glory for calling people to care well for each other. So I think fruit looks like a bunch of different things. The important part is when it's reproduced 30, 60, 100 times, it's because the fruit that is produced is what God created you to produce. It is what God has made us uniquely able to do. And sometimes we can do some of those things in our own strength, and it might produce one or two, or maybe if we're amazing, like five times, right? With our own effort. But his promise is that when we're doing what he's called us to do in his strength, that little seed produces 30, 60, 100 times more than what we did.
Beautiful. It's vulnerability time, if you're ready for it.
I'll try.
In this season, these past 6 or 7 weeks, we've been in quarantine, and I'm sure it's fluctuated as it does, but like what soil have you felt like your soul has been in?
Yeah, you know, when it first began, I was unaware of how exhausted I was the first 2 weeks. A lot of disappointment came to my children. One of them had her own apartment. Two of them were in college, and all the things they were looking forward to just ended instantly, like it did for everybody. And I was confused. And so what I found was I had had spiritual disciplines and practices that as I was leaning into them, those emotions need to be felt and expressed and experienced. And then I began to walk out of those. And so I've actually found like each week my strength kind of returning and just feeling more encouraged and more, I don't know, full of joy. And again, purposeful, you know, like this fruit thing. I think one of the things is I spent a lot of time learning about the Enneagram and it has brought a lot of understanding. I mean, a home with five adults is always going to be a lot of work because people think and feel and do life differently.
Yeah.
It gave us a common language to have those conversations. And part of just living with people when people are in stress is having the awareness that it's hard. And so work has been hard for a lot of people. Living with people is hard for a lot of people. Just going to the grocery store is hard, right? I think the grocery store is one of the days that is hardest for me. It used to be an easy chore, and now I know it's actually very hard on my soul. It makes me scared. And so I have to give myself grace on that day to have a couple hours to recover from it.
Sure. That's great.
But overall, I'd say over the 7 weeks, what I have found is less fear, less anxiety, and less exhaustion as I'm starting to develop new rhythms.
Great.
How about you?
I'm in process as well. We all are. What I found initially was my like spiritual and emotional well-being was very dependent on the systems I had in place. And then when those systems fell apart, I had a hard time coping and like still getting stuff done, but just everything was drained from me. My daily devotions, my scriptural practices fell apart. My prayer life fell apart. My relationships got more tense. Like it all got harder. And life didn't even change that much for me. Like it just shifted to working at home. But
well,
it still was a lot.
Your fiance in person. That's huge.
Yeah. There's been a lot to it. Certainly. Yeah. So I don't mean to minimize it all.
No, I think it's honoring the fact that it's been hard for everybody. And some of us feel guilty because it's not as hard as this person over here. And I don't know where on Instagram I saw that, but you know, you don't have to say like, oh, we're all in the same boat because we're in just different boats. And just because this person over here, like one of my friends, her son got COVID and was put in a coma and, you know, is recovering. But like her path is so different from mine, but it's not for me to say, well, you have nothing to be upset about. The path that I have was mine to walk through, and the path that you're on is yours to walk through. And there have been hard days, but there's also been growth. And that's what I think at the core Jesus was trying to explain is that like his word that he's left for us, when we can receive that, when we can not just hear it, but we can listen and begin to understand what he's saying, at the core of what he's saying is just come to me with this burden and I'm going to give you rest. Come to me and know that sometimes you know, you start off the day with the best intentions, and then the day becomes covered in thorns, right? Like a million distractions that you weren't prepared for happened. Mm-hmm. And even though you spend time with Jesus in the morning, by the evening, you're like, I don't even know what I think anymore. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. He's still there, even in that exhaustion. He's still there, even in our fear and in our, you know, all the different things that hardened our heart, right? Mm-hmm. The reason our hearts get hardened is something hard happened and we don't want to feel that pain again.
Yeah.
So we have two choices: to either give that pain over to Jesus and allow forgiveness to come and soften our own heart, or it continues to get hard. And the harder our heart is, the harder it is to hear God's word. Mm-hmm. It's like that little seed that the bird just comes and gets, even though it might be, you know, you might be listening to this podcast right now and thinking, you guys have no idea. My life is so very hard. All these horrible things have happened. It's very hard for me to believe in this Jesus. And, you know, how I ended the message is these seeds are so small. Like, what's one little truth? Mm-hmm. Of either, you know, you blessed me last week with one of the things you created to just be able to sit in the sunshine and say over and over again, be still and know that God is God. Mm-hmm. That little seed was enough to grow the fruit of peace in my life.
Good.
Beautiful. And that's what we are called to mm-hmm. do. And especially now, to all be able to say, well, what's something that's sort of simple, mm-hmm. that's not hard for me, that I could use this gift that God gave me, and then he can make the impact 30, 60, 100 times bigger.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there. I like what you said about the boat. We're not in the same boat. We have similar circumstances, same storm, but different mm-hmm. boats. My favorite line I learned in counseling school was, everybody's pain is a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on a scale of one to 10, your pain is a 10, mm-hmm. no matter what situation you're in. So mm-hmm. absolutely. But I guess my question for you, Kelly, is, when we are exhausted, when mm-hmm. when our soil, and you said this in your sermon, the seed doesn't change, scripture doesn't mm-hmm. change, but when our soil is rocky, when it's covered in thorns and the birds are coming to get it, how do we turn our face to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do we start? What do we do? How can we be more receptive mm-hmm. to the scripture?
I like that word receptive, because again, in the sermon I shared, like, I love going to Trader Joe's and seeing all their herbs in these little pots. And my dream every summer, I take them home, put them in a bigger pot, and they mm-hmm. die. I'm very, very bad at gardening. And so, but part of what makes someone a good gardener is they do understand what that soil needs to be. And part mm-hmm. of what needs to be is, like, you know, aerated and right. circulated. And so I think, you know, what you discovered, what I discovered, is some of the practices that were in place, some of the systems we had in place, they just weren't serving us because so many of our things changed.
Yeah.
But I don't mm-hmm. think that some things ever stop being very helpful. And those things are scripture, stillness, silence, and solitude. And so what I've been doing is just, you know, I have found a very filling practice in just going into my car on Thursdays, and it's warm and the sun is shining most of the Thursdays for some reason. And I listen to a favorite pastor named Pete Scazzaro, mm-hmm. and he talks about emotionally healthy spirituality. And just every Thursday, that's sort of my refilling time before I step into the weekend, before I step into a time where I have to be serving and caring for people. I need to fill myself first. And yeah. what I find is, by the time I get to Thursday night, which is when our church offers prayer, I'm not walking into that empty. I'm walking into that space full.
Right.
And then the time of prayer, actually, it's like another way that this little seed can grow and produce fruit, because here we have a community of people who every single week, these people are in a different boat than you and I. Most of them are either working as our frontline superheroes in the grocery store, in the nursing homes, in hospitals. So they're praying for their own health. Some of them have already gotten sick and we're praying for their health. We're praying for family members who are out there serving.
Yeah.
And so instead of it being a draining, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this moment? Because I've walked into it full, I can almost hear and listen as God is saying, I'm with you. I'm with you in your pain. I'm right here in your midst. And then I just get to be an echo of his truth instead of trying to support all these people. In my own strength, that would exhaust me to go on Thursday night and hear all these really hard things that I can't do anything for. I can't even go to your house and bring you soup, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the good news is God is with them. He's for us. The beauty is that you and I get to be people who share hope even in these hard seasons. But it takes us starting from a healthy place first in order to be doing it with authenticity.
Right. Which is so hard.
Mm.
So where do we start then? Scripturally, like mm-hmm. where would you recommend, if we're exhausted, if we're not feeling it, what steps can we take, and where should we look?
Yeah, I think I gave three different options today. All three have done different things for me. The first one is, I really love the Bible app. And they have just really updated it. It looks a lot like Instagram story right now. So you just tap through and it has the verse of the day. It's beautiful. You can share it easily on your social media to remember for yourself. And then it has a devotional, usually like a video with someone like N.T. Wright or Dr. Charles Stanley. So I found the Bible app very helpful. And so that's just when you open the app, there's a daily word. Mm-hmm. So even if you just have, you know, you're in a distracted, busy season, you probably have like 2 or 3 seconds to look at a word that might be the comfort that your soul is needing. The next thing is at the bottom of the Bible app is a thing called plans. And that is somebody's already gone through all the work to put together a 3 or 5 day or 2 week devotional. And so this week I did the one called Taste and See because that's the name of our series.
How fitting.
And it was just so wonderful. Every day, very small amount of time needed and very powerful. And so that one's only a 4 day. So you could do 4 days over a week and sort of begin to make that practice of finding a way to put God's word into your life. And then the last way I was thinking is, you know, find a group of people to kind of hold you accountable. The Bible app has plans you can share. We have a small group season coming up where you can connect with people. And so that's one of the things you do really well. You have a Wednesday night group that is a connected community.
Yes.
And so has that been helpful for you as a way to stay in the word?
It's been incredibly helpful. And mostly what we do is just catch up and make sure that we're all still hanging in there and doing okay. We talk about the sermon from the week and we kind of, and we, most weeks we share both during group and after in the email, like what scriptures have been uplifting us, what songs have been bringing us life, like sharing the life we are receiving with each other has been immensely uplifting and restorative.
Right. And you don't have to do all the work because somebody else already got a word and they shared it with you. You know, that's the beauty of community is like, I love our Sunday morning worship experiences because there's at least 9 of us on all doing a part.
Yep.
If this was something you and I were trying to do alone, we'd be so exhausted, but we don't have to because we have a community of gifted people.
Exactly. And one other thing Harbor is doing, we were putting out blogs during the Lent season. And now in this new series that we are talking about resting in scripture and devouring scripture, we're going to be releasing meditations on Wednesdays instead of the blogs. That will mostly will be a process of Lectio Divina, which is divine reading. It's meditative reading of scripture. And it'll just be a time to intake, to listen, to rest, and to receive God's word. So that might be another good place to start.
It's such a great place to start. I'm lucky I've already had a chance to listen to one of the ones that you've created. It's created by our amazing Jeff. So you make me want to listen to it. But no, you sent it to me on a day where the sun was shining and I just went outside and you had a phrase like put your feet on the ground. It was like a grounding moment.
Yeah. Good.
And the sun was shining on me and it was only moments. I don't know how long it was, but it was amazing to me how quickly your soul can be restored.
Yeah. It was like 8 minutes, I think.
8 minutes of being still, and there was moments of silence in scripture. And it was like all the pieces that we've known through centuries are what we call spiritual practices, things you practice because sometimes you don't want to do it.
Right.
And yet when it's a discipline that's part of your life and you're like, no, I'm just going to go to the word. I've never heard of anyone who said, well, I opened up the scripture this morning and I didn't learn anything. There's nothing new under the sun. Usually you go there and there's a word. It might be a whole phrase. It might be a whole chapter, but there's something that God has for you. And so I'm so thankful you're going to be releasing those because when you're tired, the last thing you want to do is like an in-depth study. And sometimes your soul just needs to have scripture washed over you.
And allow God to speak through it instead of trying to milk it for meaning.
Those check marks of
Bible. Exactly. Great. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else that you would like to leave our people with?
Oh, what things landed on the cutting room floor?
One
thing that landed on the cutting room floor. So my whole time in this began with a song from Hillsong called Shadow Step. Because I always wondered about, like, that song is just a song that I sang a lot or have heard played a lot. And like, what is God's shadow step? Right? That's like a strange title for a song. And so as I began to look into it, you know, when Moses gets the opportunity, God says, like, you can go stand next to the rock and I'm going to walk by you and you'll just see the back, you'll see the shadow. That's sort of what following God looks like, is like taking a step in God's shadow. And he's not here physically like he was for Moses, but he gave us his word as a way to follow him. And so, you know, we have to cut some things in the sermon to make them work. And I just wasn't finding a way to make that go along with, but sure. I think it's just an important truth. Like, one, if you've never heard the song, I think that whole album is amazing by Hillsong. But secondly, like, what does it look like today? Your first little seed, your first little step to say, where is God working and where can I just sort of follow him? Mm-hmm. You don't have to invent the whole thing right now and use all your energy on something. You know, it's yours to do when it's easy.
Sure.
Right. So for me right now, sharing the gospel is like explaining the Enneagram to families. And it's so easy. There's nothing draining. I feel like you felt similar to that when you were creating these Lectio Divinas, these podcast pieces.
Yes, so, this is easy. It brings me joy. It took work to get there. There's a lot that is not easy, but like the process is hard. The learning is hard, but the doing is life-giving.
And that's what I would hope to leave everybody with. Mm-hmm. To just be looking at what God's already doing, what he's inviting you into, and what's some simple, non-draining, energizing step that he's calling you to, and then just take that one little tiny step. And when it's what he's called us to do, the beauty is he reproduces 30, 60, 100 times. He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. And that's an exciting thing to be a part of.
Yeah. Beautiful. Great. Well, thank you, Kelly.
Well, have a great day.
Yeah, you too. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.